The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Welcome back to the program, Afternoons with Mike on the Shepherd Radio. And I have on the line with me, he's traveling, he's able to do it all. He's able to do a radio show while he and his wife are on the road, I think currently in South Carolina. God have mercy on Dave Zanotti. Welcome to my program.
Hi, Mike. All I know is that as soon as you started to roll tape, the traffic in this lonely stretch of South Carolina where everybody's got to come if they're coming from the Midwest or right to get to 95 and head to Savannah, Georgia, the traffic just suddenly cleared up. You should have called me an hour ago.
My goodness, it's just the anointing of God, man, that just to be with us both. Oh, it's just really a crazy time in which we live, and I trust that your holidays were wonderful, and you guys are looking forward to a big new year for the American Policy Roundtable and center. It's got to be an exciting year.
Well, it was an exhausting year, given all the things that we decided to try to get done by the grace of God that we thought we were supposed to get done, flowing from about August to the end of the year, and not the least of which was Christmas in America. I know we talked about it. It turned out to be a magnificent project.
Oh, did it ever? Oh, yeah.
Oh, we learned so much in the process. We sort of worked very hard to plus the show in its 11th season. And I have to tell you, Mike, I wasn't sure we even had the episode correct, that the story on it was written right. I wasn't sure we had the book right until August 26th. Mm. It's the latest it's ever been that we were still wrestling to make sure we had the story correct. But then when it plays out, and we've gone back now after the live performances and the radio show is now up and posted at thepublicsquare.com. And we've gone back and viewed the brand new video that's up on YouTube that shows the actual live show. We can see how God was knitting the storylines together. And that the message about the impossible word, about the incarnation, and about how humans respond or don't respond to the revelation of the Word of God, it's all there. And so we were just listening in the wee morning hours before the sun came up this morning in our journey to Florida. We were listening and thanking God again that the story of the impossible word, we got it. It made sense.
Yeah, I loved your opening comments in it about the fact that it was like an incredible thing that what the Lord did and what God the Father did in giving his son, that amazing act alone is worth the pause of the universe to stop back and say, how did that ever come about? You know, I heard it once. Somebody said it this way. God did for us what it's unthinkable, what we would never ask of anybody else to do, not even in our lives, much less God the Father doing that with the precious Son. It is really an amazing advent of the Lord coming with the purpose of giving himself on a cross. Yeah, your whole program this year was just stellar. And the band
thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, wasn't that something? Oh. Well, we won't spill all the popcorn, but it's still relevant in the spiritual dynamic and the inspiration. And, of course, the music turned out to be quite extraordinary. It was a very special year. I know your background is in music. Your family's background is in music. And we were able to do some things this year with a very unique cast of people. And one of the fun things about Christmas in America is the people who assemble in the band for this show are not the stars that you see on the front cover of the record. They're the stars that are on the back cover of the record.
Mm-hmm.
The people that perform in this performance that you'll hear at Christmas in America at thepublicsquare.com, these people, they're the ones who the artists take out to sing with them, just in case the artist is going to miss the high note or they're the ones that are the exact musicians that they want because they know they don't miss. I mean, these people have got more Grammys on their list than you can imagine, but they're all genuinely Christian people, and they all genuinely come and share their gifts for the very purpose of giving glory to the Lord at Christmas time. So the live event is extraordinary. We still believe, by God's grace, that we're going to bring a live performance very soon to Orlando. Or Gainesville, or both villages, all of them.
Hopefully
this coming year. I believe that with all my heart, that we're going to have that opportunity, and we're excited about that. But right now, this year, you can take a look at that both at YouTube, at the Public Square, Christmas in America, and at thepublicsquare.com.
Well,
I hope you'll listen. I think the listening part of it's even more fun than the viewing.
I heard it first, doing just that, listening to the Shepherd, and I remember I was leaving one event on a Sunday when you were on in the early evening hours of a Sunday evening on the 19th, and I'm literally on the 408, which is our big east-west toll road, which you know all about, because you guys have an office in the Orlando area, and I'm driving down there, and I'm listening to the open. I'm loving it. You and Wayne, you sounded great, and then all of a sudden, I got all excited because they go into what I recognized immediately as the intro to Smooth, which was Santana, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, they're playing Santana on the Shepherd, and I'm thinking, and the thought hit my mind, Dave, I think this is the first time that we might have actually had Santana on the airwaves of the Shepherd. Well, it was the song, and I find out afterwards, this was your band, they were actually doing that live, and it wasn't a recording, it was amazing, even the guy that did Rob Thomas's part, he sounded fantastic, but then I look at the video, and he's the guitar player, too.
I knew this show was going to peg your fun meter.
Oh my gosh.
The musicians were just extraordinary. And we had at least six different genres of music from the year 2000. And it was interesting because we had big, strong numbers like Smooth, but then we had the most gentle single voice with a guitar closing act one. And then we had big numbers with the whole Grinch thing that we were doing. And then we had the close in act one of Rachel Lampa, who in the year 2000 appeared on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and then sold 500,000 copies of her album. She was 14 years old in 2000 when she made her premiere on Jay Leno's show. And she closed the show with Joy of the World. It's just beautiful.
Oh, that is so great. And it is a stellar program. And I'm so grateful. You know, Dave, when I think about Christmas in America, number one, anyone who listens to your program, The Public Square on The Shepherd, they'll immediately identify with the fact that what makes it so great is this ensemble of voices and the characters that you have. I mean, they are really beyond just voices. You guys are characters. There's a lot of humor. You guys are fun. You've got this amazing talent in Wayne Shepherd, and every radio host in America loves that guy. He's just super. And then you have Rob, and you have all of the other voices, Melanie, and so you have this ensemble, but then you have Christmas in America, and then you add to that kind of a thing a different type of ensemble. You've got all the presentation, all of the musicians. It is just a wonderful thing to see. It's a treat, man. It really is.
Well, we have been blessed to watch God unfold this and to continue to use people who are just showing up for work and saying, God, use us. And that's become infectious. And the caliber of people that have chosen to show up is extraordinary. I mean, I mentioned stars like Rachel Lampa who came in. Now, Rachel's story is after extraordinary success, she decided that she didn't want the life at the top. She wanted to be a mom and she wanted to be a worship leader. And so people haven't heard from her for a number of years, but she's still performing and she's still involved in worship in a very intimate way. So when she stepped up to finish the program, we were thrilled. She's a beautiful voice, a wonderful human being. And the other thing I can tell you, Mike, is you would fit right in. You could grab your guitar. You could come right in on stage with us. And these guys would surround you with nothing but love, because for all of their credentials and all of their accomplishments, they love each other.
Mm.
And we have a blast. In fact, the biggest problem we had this year was behind stage. They were having so much fun off stage when they weren't on stage. We had to go back and tell the stage manager, go back and say, quiet, you're annoying the audience.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I am going to make a very special effort in 2022 to be there for that thing. I want to watch it live. That is so cool.
Well, then I'm going to make a very special prayer effort that the Lord will bring it right to the Shepherd Network so you don't have a long drive.
Oh, man. All right. That would be amazing. Well, that would be awesome. And we'll do all that we can do to work out venues. If you bring Christmas in America, that is awesome. Now, you know, when I think of the year 2000, a funny story that actually happened. We, as back in that year, I was part of the leadership team at Metro Life Church, and we were all gathered, as we did every New Year's Eve. We all gathered as a pastoral team. We've brought our children. We had a big night, a big watch night gathering, fun party. Kids played games. We played ping pong, all of the fun stuff. That was a every year New Year's Eve thing. That year, we were all gathered, and we were, of course, big interest because of the turn of the millennium. And you'll remember, Dave, there was a lot of talk about, are banks going to crash? Will all of the computers work? What's going to happen?
Planes falling out of the sky, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, those are the kinds of things that people were predicting, and so we're all watching with great interest. And right before midnight, the host there at Danny's house, he gets up, turns the TV on. We're watching the ball drop. We all count down, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and the moment it happened, everyone, Happy New Year. Well, one of our guys, a real wise guy, member of the staff, had quietly, and to a surprise of even the host, had gone out into the garage to the panel. And he tripped the breaker right when he was hearing us say, Happy New Year. And boom, we were in complete blackness.
I don't know who he is, but I like it.
It was so great. And there for a few moments, we thought, uh-oh, it has happened. And then all of a sudden, he flipped the breaker. The lights came back on. Of course, the TV didn't come back on, but the lights did. And then he's out just dying laughing. And we realized that it was a prank, and we made
great
it.
Great story.
But it really happened. Oh, my goodness, it's nuts. But I'm so thankful you had a great year and a lot of interest in Christmas. So, again, give our listeners, if they don't know how to find it, how can they get a hold of this year's presentation?
And please know that if you think that you're saturated with Christmas, I understand. This is what we're very involved in, and it's so good into January after a while. But this particular show is it's the number one program of our ministry outreach every year to Christmas in America, because it's a history lesson. It reflects on the music. It's like going back and seeing a magazine piece on a period that also sings to you. Mm-hmm. And that you want to sing with. So it's definitely inspiring. And I really love the radio edition as well as the video. So you can find it all at thepublicsquare.com. It's that simple. And if you want to catch the video, just go to YouTube and search The Public Square, Christmas in America. You'll find them both. Of course, they're free. Everything that we do, Mike, is free. You can also find them on our phone app, which is also free. And the reason that all that stuff's free is not because we ever use anyone in your network, any of your listeners, as our product. We don't sell anyone's information. We ask for almost no information at all. And we have no subscription services. Everything is free because the Lord said, freely you've received, freely give.
Mm-hmm.
And so our donors are committed to wanting to make this opportunity. Well, it's just like listening to the Shepherd Radio. You don't charge people to tune in, because you're in the world of mission and in the world of ministry. And so we're trying to spread as much light as we can. So I don't think you'll regret it.
I know they won't. It's a great program. And for those in our audience like myself who are musicians and love good music, you're not going to be disappointed at that either. There's some real talent on that stage, and it is wonderful. I just love it. Before we take a break, you got to give us an update on the Mission Center.
Well, fortunately, by God's grace, we had our day of dedication in the fourth quarter of last year. And that was, it would actually be 2021. I'm getting used to the idea that we now have to, 2022's here. It's really honestly here.
It's almost so there,
We're right on it. So we had the Day of Dedication in October, and then we had a Christmas in America video premiere there on the 18th. So the center is well, it's a miracle, because in the midst of COVID, most of the items that we could not have paid for with the cost increases were both ordered and paid for before the COVID collapse of increases came.
Oh, that's so great. Or that before the supply line problems.
Right. Now, the supply line problem was a different situation. The last 6 months, everything we needed, it was like we were running some kind of a secret laboratory in our homes. Every one of us had computers up trying to help the builders and designers, because you couldn't find a product anywhere in the known world. Mm. So we were all scouring every online source for light fixtures and for carpet squares and for everything you could imagine, handles for the doors. I mean, it was incredible. But all of it is done by the grace of God. The landscaping came in. It was a miracle. The four fireplaces on the property are done. And we just sat down, in fact, at Christmas in America, we sat down and doing the radio edition, we literally were sitting around the fireplace in the new studios recording radio. And it's a different kind of studio. Mike, I cannot wait for you to be there. I can't wait for your assignment to come and spend a few days with us, because what you'll find is we created a big living room for these characters on the public square. We want the program to be conversational so that there's not even a broadcast table. There's no spider arm microphones. They're literally sitting around on a couch in comfortable chairs with the microphones next to them, with the fireplace lit in a beautiful room surrounded by pine trees, and they're just talking to each other. Because this is what the conversation, the public square is a place where we come to talk about life and the light of life. So it's going great. We're occupying now. It'll take us 3 months to get everything moved in, probably another couple of months after that to get all the high-tech stuff that's coming into the studio. But we're going to be able to reach the next generation with broadcast products, both audio and video and print, like we've never done before. So we're nothing but thrilled. And by the merciful grace of God, the doors opened 100% paid for, no debt.
That is such a miracle. And it's really rare. It really, in almost any industry, to have a building open up that is able to say that 100% debt free. And is the punch list, I guess you're still working through the little things that you have to do when you make
punch
a building.
List are, those the words punch list, that those are fighting words right now.
Yeah.
Anyone that's built something, you know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We have our occupancy. We're moving everything in. The tech is going in the walls now in so many cool ways. Mike, it's thrilling. And I really believe that everybody who listens to the Public Square eventually is going to put on their to-do list or their bucket list, come to the American Mission Center and watch a broadcast, because everyone will eventually, the doors will be open on a regular basis for people to come in and listen personally to watch a program being produced.
Man, I was so interested in it that I did a Google map of where you are and kind of just took some moments. And of course, you can, you know, do the satellite terrain and see all of the surrounding areas. I'm not familiar with that part of the country personally, but I can't wait to be there and see this thing. And it is going to be neat. I've got on the line today Dave Zanotti from the Public Square. He's the host, and he and his friends there at APR are with the Shepherd every day, and we're going to rejoin him in a moment. Don't go away. We're up against a break. We'll take that break and be back in a moment here on Afternoons with Mike. Back again here on the line with Dave Zanotti. Dave is en route to Orlando. They have offices at the Public Square in Orlando, and I'm looking forward to our get-together whenever that's going to be able to be worked out. Also to have you up to the studio. Now, one final thing I have to just talk about. There is a fun little aspect that comes up every year on Christmas in America when you guys do it, and that's a reference of Wayne and Santa Claus. So what is the history there? I got to hear the whole story.
Ah, now I must respectfully correct the dialogue there, because it's Wayne and Saint Nicholas.
Ah, sorry.
Yes.
You're right.
And there's a difference, and we're actually going to be talking about that difference more next year, interestingly enough. with the program as it's looking to shape up for Christmas in America 2022. But look, if anyone has ever seen Wayne Shepherd, you know, if you put a little set of wire rimmed glasses on him and gave him a red sport coat, you would really think he was St. Nicholas's little brother.
Yep.
And he just has the glow. He just has the glow. So we think he's doing PR for the St. Nicholas Committee. And so we tease him regularly about his appearances from the North Pole. And since he comes to us from his studio in Chicago, he may as well be in the North Pole. So that's and we've been together so many years now, it's all spontaneous. I think that's the part that is funny, because, you know, we have scripts, we have books. I mean, the book on this show is 35, 40 pages long.
Wow.
And a cast of 20 people. And so there is a literal book like a Broadway musical on the show. But most of the stuff Wayne and I do well is ad-libbed.
Well, you guys do it. And even though it's ad-libbed, it feels so cohesive, and you guys really do have, you know, what they would talk about, just the chemistry of the way you work together with each other's sense of humor, which is obvious and very present. And you guys really are just wonderful hosts. I really am glad I listened to it before I saw it. And I think that is part of the theater of the mind that radio brings. But you guys bring the very best of what would be classic radio. You know, on your website, you even have like a classic motif for radio. Yeah. I think that the skin, if you will, of your website is just gorgeous. But you guys bring that wonderful aspect of something that would be so old from the standpoint of technology by today's comparison. But yet, when you think back to what was wondrously done in the golden age of radio in the 40s and on into early 50s, you guys are capturing that with all of the great new technologies that we have. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and Mike, I'll tell you, we didn't plan it that way. We just sensed that's where the spirit was leading, that we would be a part of a reconstruction of radio, particularly of talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that rationale is really based in the scriptures, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you think about this, we were talking about this the other day in staff, there were very few written copies of New Testament manuscripts. Most of what people would have heard in the very first assemblies of the church would have been read to them. This was the word of God reaching their minds. And even in the Old Testament model of the Jewish synagogue or the temple, someone read from the scriptures to the people. So, and God knew what he was doing. I mean, it wasn't like he was, you know, he was too early for the internet. He knew exactly at the right time, with the right mechanisms, mm-hmm. on how to best send his word into the world, whether it was the written text or the word of God in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. So we think that we're actually in a pattern of how God made us to listen with our minds through our ears. Now, we're all for video. We do that too. But there's something very special about the word of God and very special about Christmas music. They both take you places. And so it's a wonderful palette to work from, and we're way above our pay grade, so we have to pray a lot.
Well, that would not be believed by anybody, because when they see you guys there, it looks like this is what you do all the time around the calendar, doing these kinds of programs. It just looks very natural and fun. So I just can't say enough good about Christmas in America 2000. I pray that all of our listeners will enjoy it and as much as we have, and it's going to be really a lot of fun. Now, since we last talked, I do believe our last chat had to do when all of the vax mandates were coming out. That's the last time you and I got together several weeks back. And this is kind of like that. It's almost like the pound cake that just never goes away. You know what I mean? It's one of those recurring words, and I did have a question that I wanted your thoughts on. First of all, Dr. Fauci, do you see 2022 maintaining all of what Dr. Fauci's ideas and the newest thing about a vax mandate for all air travel? Do you think that this is going to be something that will get any traction?
Well, first off, once again, you have great insights in your analysis. And I would say that the number one policy priority for the United States of America, for every citizen and every elected official at every level in the year 2022, should be to find out Fauci. FOF, find out Fauci. What do I mean by that? This is not personal about Dr. Fauci. This is about what did he know and when did he know it. The reason for that is that there is still so much that we don't know about this virus. And I'll rest the case simply with the reality that we waited for the vaccine. The vaccine came off the shelf. We learned that the vaccine had been in development for over 10 years in a genetic therapy. They changed the word from genetic therapy to vaccine. We put it in the marketplace. People embraced it. We used it. It did have an impact on protecting the most vulnerable. There's value in it. I'm not at all an anti-vaxxer. I think we need better vaccines than we have. But I am against the mandates, but we'll talk about that in a second. But here's the point. Dr. Fauci has changed his story so many times.
Yes.
He has continually been more afraid of this virus than any doctor I know. And we have interviewed scores of leading people confidentially behind the scenes that have been willing to tell us stuff they can't say out loud in public. And I will tell you, none of them can come up with any reason why Dr. Fauci has been so extreme from the starting off telling you, go to the Super Bowl, don't wear a mask, don't worry about it. Then suddenly, the screeching tires, the breaking glass, and he goes in exactly the opposite direction. And he's never, ever, ever turned back. He has been doubling down, tripling down, quadrupling down. And so the docs want to know. They want to know, why is Dr. Fauci so afraid of this particular COVID virus when we've been living with scores of them for hundreds and thousands of years? Why is this one have him so frightened? What does he know that the medical community doesn't know? When did he know it, and how did he find out? In other words, we need to know what gain of function really means and what Dr. Fauci and all of his allies really know about this virus.
You know, that is exactly right, because you've brought up a point that I'm not even sure to this day that everyone would be aware that coronavirus has been around forever. This is not just a novel new name. This has been around. And so when you talk about this particular coronavirus, you're talking about COVID-19. And this, because you correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, but even the common cold is kind of a version of a coronavirus, right?
Yeah, well, this particular bug that we're dealing with, this virus, SARS-CoV-2, creates COVID-19, which is the disease, the symptoms. Yes, they've been around. We'll go the whole way back to the 1918 Spanish flu. We can go back to all the different styles. Yes, the common cold is a coronavirus. So all of the virologists, the immunologists, the biologists, the microbiologists, they have been watching these kinds of viruses for generations. They know what to expect. And this virus has operated largely within those boundaries, but for the fact that there's some pieces and parts of it, when you really study it, that are challenging, unique. Like, for example, Alex Berenson's book is out called Pandemia. Now, I don't plug books and I don't know Alex Berenson. I know people who have interviewed him. They were very impressed. I've watched those interviews. I've been very impressed with his work. I'm enjoying reading the book. It's painful because he takes us back to the very beginning, tells us all the things that we kind of were already talking about on your show, and he adds more resources than we had. It just makes it hurt the more. But the fact is that in his book, he specifically cites some of the information that we know about the virus and why it seems to have more power or more stickability, if you will. Why this particular virus sticks to certain cells in certain kinds of tissues more than a standard understandable coronavirus. Why is that happening? Now, we know that this virus came from some experiment somewhere, that there were experiments going on. We've never gotten the answer about whether it was leaked from a lab. Look, Mike, I don't care about any of that stuff. We know it came from China. We know it came from Wuhan. We know it came from bat fecal material. We know all that stuff, and no one contradicts that. That's not the point. What we want to know, and only Fauci can tell us, what did they do to the virus? And did the gain of function research give it its distinctions? And we need to know everything he knows and when he knows it. And if he knows no more than he is told, that's fine. We don't want to prosecute him. We just have to know. Congress should insist it. They should subpoena him. FOIA requests should go out at every level. We have to know everything. And it's time for Fauci to come clean. I don't care what deals they cut for him to tell everything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No one could be prosecuted singularly for this and be and that be justice. What's justice is we need to know everything.
And, you know, what you're saying, Dave, is that it's not just speculation that's saying there's got to be something that he's not told us, because there have been things that have come out that basically what he did tell us was not the truth. He has basically been proven to have some inconsistencies in some of his reporting, and some of those possibly even under oath. So this is pretty serious here, that there is a whole bunch that is not right. There's you know, my dad used to say something stinking in Bismarck. I'm not sure exactly what all that meant, but there is something not right about this whole process, about the World Health Organization. Even the CDC is suspect in some of the reporting, his role in Wuhan, not only his role, but is Bill Gates, his name is perennially brought into this as well as being one of the major funders. But there are reports here that Fauci has said things that have been about what he didn't have knowledge about that has now been proven not to be the case. He did have knowledge about it. And
he's always been more afraid than everybody else, and that makes no sense. Now, one people would say, well, of course it makes sense. He scared all of us so that that $40 billion of wealth was transferred to the drug companies. Okay, I get that. I get that on follow the money. But Fauci's an older gentleman. He couldn't spend all the money that they could give him on kickbacks. There's got to be more to it than that, because he is a doctor and he has helped people over his career. Anthony Fauci is not a classical villain. It doesn't add up. Something that, Mike, we've got to get to the bottom of this, and speculation won't cut it. We need documents, we need records, we need testimony, we need people to come clean, and so that we have all the facts going forward. For example, they changed the word meaning of vaccine to gene therapy, and they gave us the vaccines that we had, and thank God we had some because they saved some people. But I mean, how many times did we hear politicians say, take the vaccine, you won't get sick? Well, that's absolutely not true from the get-go, from basic science. Every single human on the planet is going to be infected with this virus. Now, some will never know it because their immune systems will handle it, and they'll never be symptomatic, and they'll never know that it came into their body. But ultimately, everybody is going to come across this because it's out there, and it finds you. It's like the cold. Can you imagine anyone on the planet Earth that's been here for 20 years or longer that hasn't had a cold? Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same thing. It's the same kind of situation. So we're not going to be able to escape it and run away from it. That part we get. But there's so much that they told us, like the vaccine, you won't get sick. Well, no, that's not true. You may or may not. But what nobody talked about was the fact that it had a shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Somebody knew that was true.
Yes, they did. And even the information that was sent out about almost like the early days, that information was so out there that it caused such fear about shelf life. For example, you know, we were told that it would just live forever or days on a surface, on a table. So therefore, we're having to wash our hands all of the time. And then just within almost no time, we're told that, no, that's not the case. It has a very finite efficacy of the virus. So it's airborne and it's all of that. So these stories change Fauci, however, just seems, like you said, to double down without ever really owning or coming back and saying, hey, we had it wrong on that. That's what I wonder, if that's ever going to happen, or if somebody's going to make him kind of own it and say this wasn't
eventually
right.
Eventually, we've got to get to that. So first thing is to find out Fauci. The second thing is the question that you asked also about mandates. Mike, I've got to tell you, around the country, the reason that hospitals are being strained again is government policy. In the middle of last year, we had a crisis of hospitals bleeding out because the governors and the Department of Health and the czars of COVID decided that hospitals should stop doing any form of elective surgery and only deal with COVID and keep their beds free for COVID. There's just one problem. They weren't able to make enough money to stay open doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And without the elective surgeries, they were literally looking at, they were laying off people because they were financially bleeding out. The government was literally driving them out of business. Well, finally, enough people got to enough people and they changed the policy. Now, the government's got the brilliant idea of vaccine mandates.
Yes.
So they announced the vaccine mandates, and most hospitals have more than 100 employees. And so our frontline people are all hit with these mandates. And Mike, I've been hearing across the country that close to 25% of hospital staffs and medical professionals around the country have resigned from their work because they have natural immunity. They're not going to add vaccinated immunity on top of it because they don't need it. And they resent, as career professionals, being dictated to by people who don't know as much about medicine as they do. And they walked. Now we have hospitals. I just came back from talking to the hospital administrators in the Midwest. They have 18-hour waits to get in through the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going in for COVID, you're not going to have a bed. You're going to be in the hallway for one simple reason. They have all the beds they need. They do not have the staff to care for the patients in those beds.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break. Let's stop you right there. Let me interrupt and just say that we're going to finish this one. This is too good. We'll be on the other side of the break with more of this with Dave Zanotti. This is Afternoons with Mike. So happy to have my friend Dave Zanotti on the line today. Dave is traveling, and so grateful we have the technology to be able to talk while you're traveling, while Debbie's driving. You're getting to spend this time with our listeners, and we all appreciate it. You know, we're at the end of the last segment. We're talking about all of the stuff that's going on, and you were bringing up this point about all of these hospital workers that now, with all of the stuff that was canceled in 2020 and into 2021, elective surgeries out the window, not to even mention the people that needed some of those elective surgeries, those went from being elective to emergency, and yet some of them probably died because they were not able to have it because of the directions at the hospital. And now, this is where we were at the end of the break, the vax mandates come out, and you have, like you said, up to 25% of hospital workers are not going to get that mandate. And it's, I know it's gone all the way to the Supreme Court. Do you see the Supreme Court moving in any sense of expeditiously on this issue?
Oh, yes, Mike, they already have, by agreeing to take this up quickly, because what's happened is we've had at least two circuit courts. Remember, there's a number of circuits across the country where your district courts flow into a circuit court divided by a series of states. And so Florida's in one circuit, Tennessee, Ohio in another, LA's in another, New York's in another. So you have these different circuits. Well, two of the different circuit courts, which is the second level of the federal court system, cases were presented in the district federal court. They went up on appeal to the circuit court, and two circuits have ruled on the opposite side. One has said the mandates are unconstitutional. One has said they're constitutional. That's exactly why the Supreme Court exists.
Mm-hmm.
When there is an irreconcilable conflict coming up out of the states, and there needs to be a clear definition on what the Constitution says as it applies to this specific policy or this grievance in this case. So we've got a situation where the Supreme Court has stepped in. They have moved quickly. They're going to hear oral arguments in January. And I would expect no later than June, but the fact of the matter is it might be by the end of January, 1st of February, that they will actually go. And now this is an interesting position for this court because it depends on how well they read in. Because if you just take a couple of times that the court has dealt with quarantine laws in the states, they've usually deferred to the fact that the federal government does not do quarantine laws. That's a state law matter. It always has been. And the feds should keep their nose out. That's smart policy. That's good government from an American point of view. But this is a very different set of circumstances. Now the federal government has stuck its strong arm in, and the states have stuck their strong arm into the point where they are now practicing medicine for people they don't even know, and they don't have doctor's licenses. Mm-hmm. So now it's a whole different conversation. So it'll be fascinating to watch this court define this as a matter of personal liberty and safety, as opposed to who's got standing in the courts of in the different sections of constitutional law. So it's going to be a fascinating story. We'll be watching it closely, and I look forward to talking with you about it more.
Now, some of these deadlines that are coming up, they're approaching. For example, going back again to Fauci, he has just yesterday made a statement. And again, I just cringe every time I hear his name mentioned, because it's almost like another possibly outrageous request that's going to be made. You know, like, well, how many is it going to be, four masks this time that I need, or what is it? But this one was that air travel should demand, all air travel should have a prerequisite of having a vax passport. Now, that's going to not only affect those people that work for the airlines, but that's going to take a good number of clients that fly on these airlines. They're not going to do it.
This is a perfect example, Mike, of where Fauci can't be Fauci unless he's truly lost his mind. And I don't think he has. Let's take this down for just a number of different levels. First off, the vaccine. We already know the vaccine has an efficacy, and we also know that we're dealing with a vaccine that was created 2 years ago and has virtually very little power, if you will, against preventing disease and infection from Omicron. It won't stop at Omicron. There'll be more variants for years and decades. They have already proven that they cannot keep a vaccine on the shelf that is current with the virus's ability to modify. So therefore, if I present you a vaccine mandate card right now, double shot and boosted, I could get Omicron today with that card. It's meaningless, and I could spread it today. The passport is meaningless. All it is symbolic. Now you say, well, wait a minute. It protects you against serious hospitalization. You know what, Mike? That is anecdotal. That is completely anecdotal, because I've never seen one study that yet shows that the people who are going to the hospital or not going to the hospital, I'm not told how old they are, how much they weigh, what their comorbidities are. We know that this vaccine does not protect you against Omicron as far as getting sick. That's the first purpose of what the vaccine is supposed to do, is mm-hmm. to help you. The second thing, if it's a therapy, now it's a therapeutic. In other words, you take it as a preventative measure, that's fine. Let's quit calling it a vaccine. But see, Fauci double, tripling down. Look, I just completely blew his argument to kingdom come, and I don't have a medical degree. I just talked to a lot of really smart doctors. Fauci's not stupid. Is he afraid that the next variant that's going to come along is going to be an element of germ warfare? And it's going to be as spreadable as Omicron and as deadly as Delta? What does he know that's driving his illogical behavior? Because he doesn't make sense, but he's not a stupid guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
there's a perfect example.
It just brings to my mind, because, and I'm not saying something now of our president that he has not already said himself, but he regularly on a podium, to the chagrin of his handlers, will say something like this: I'm not supposed to be taking questions now. So who is that ear or a person in his ear? Who is the person that's uttering these directives? And is it possible that the same person who's telling Biden that he should not be taking questions from the reporters, is this person in contact with Fauci? I mean, that's a speculation, but
and
I think it's
where we've got to have a full congressional investigation. We sincerely have to know all that they know, how they're doing it. And these are non-elected people. They have to answer to someone. They have to answer to the United States Congress. We have to know. It's only fair. Mm-hmm. A doctor's first obligation is to do no harm. The errors in this process under the first administration that dealt with it, the Trump administration, this one, the errors that have been made have hurt people. Now, there's been a lot of great effort and a lot of people have been helped. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying it's time to come clean. It's time to find out Fauci, everything he knows and when he knew it.
You know, I saw a quote. I'm not going to be able to give it exactly, but it's pretty close to that. I saw this quote last night from football player of all the people that I would not have expected this kind of a quote to come from. It was from the quarterback Aaron Rodgers, great quarterback mm-hmm. in the NFL. And he said this, the moment we are told to stop questioning science, science is no longer science. It's propaganda. And that is an amazing quote. If we can't question science, and the moment we have to stop questioning what we're being told as science, it's propaganda. Do you believe that?
I think it's probably worse than that. When you have the kind of power that the CDC has been given through this crisis, and state departments of health and even county boards of health have been given under this notion that since it's quarantine law, anything goes, that's a dangerous environment to be in. And when you say, when your bottom line to the people of who you are commissioned to serve is, you'll do it because I say so. I don't care whether you understand it or not. It's the right thing to do. That's how you break trust in a representative form of government. And that's a very dangerous place. That is a virus inside our system of government mm-hmm. that we have to get rid of, because that's deadly. That can kill America.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we've got 4 minutes left, and I want to make sure we spin this correctly. We've got a big midterm, probably one of the most important midterm elections in the history of America coming up. What do you see shaping up this year?
Well, the one piece of good news is we've been at this for 42 years and been trying to explain to people that the reason the Constitution is written the way it is intentional, that Article 1 is Article 1, because Article 1 is about the Congress, because the founders built this system not with three equal branches of government. They built it with one very powerful branch of government called the legislative branch.
Mm-hmm.
The administrative branch is much less powerful, and the judicial is the least powerful of the three. That was the design. Read the Federalist Papers. It's all there. So the fact that we're going to be focusing on Congress this year is good for our country. That's the first thing. Secondly, I'm not a partisan, and so I don't care about the Republican and Democrat parties. They're both killing us. They both stand in opposition to the doctrines that George Washington and John Adams taught. And they also stand against the scriptures, which say that God hates entities and individuals. He hates, it's his word, not mine, hates discord being sown among brethren. And the political parties exist to divide us against one another and exploit that division so they secure power. That's a bad plan, Mike. It's a bad formula. So what I believe and I pray for is that God's people in this year, while there's still time, will file to run for public office at every level, that we'll see people step up as free agents. Now, I don't care whether they file and they claim they're a Democrat or they put the paperwork in for the Republicans. The fact that you file, or as an independent, it doesn't matter. You're not obligated to run and be in the party, but if you choose to be, that's okay too. The point is, God's people must be free agents.
Mm-hmm.
And as free agents, we must enter into the political arena for the purpose of public service and always put principle over power and principle over party. We need more godly people willing to serve in the legislative branch in Tallahassee and in Washington, D.C. It is vital. So we're on to Article 1. We're at the most important part. Now, as far as what's going to happen, all the ballyhoo and about the polls and the Republicans going to this, and Mike, it will come down to candidates.
Mm-hmm.
You can't beat something with nothing. If the Republicans put up better candidates, they'll win the majority. If they don't, they won't. It's just that simple.
Do you feel that Americans have put enough safeguards in place to avoid what were so clearly evident what those things that happened in the last election cycle with potential fraud or the laws that were broken on mail-in votes. Do you feel we've done enough to protect the integrity of this upcoming vote?
It's a fair question, and it's an unfortunate question that we won't know till it's over. But let's be mindful of one thing. There have been debates in almost every state, certainly debates in Florida, to make certain that the excesses that happened, because the laws were written with goodwill to try to make sure people had lots of opportunities to participate, those goodwill measures were exploited. Now, I'm not suggesting they were exploited illegally. That's the difference. I'm not saying Bill walked in, said I'm Bob, and voted as Bob, and then voted as Bill. That's fraud. This is different. What happened in the last election cycle in many states, where people looked at the liberality and the extensions through COVID to give people more opportunities to get live ballots in the mail, more opportunity to send them in, more opportunity to vote multiple places, more time to vote, all the loosening of the show up on election day, sign your name, and make your case. Mm-hmm. The farther you get from that core event, the more opportunity there's to be exploited. And we know for a fact that hundreds of millions of dollars were given to organizations like Stacey Abrams to literally go around in five counties and find votes, get those votes on paper, and get those papers harvested and in. Now, that was not illegal according to the law, but what it was unknown to other people. And that big surprise was when they suddenly realized, for example, Donald Trump got more votes than he had last time and lost the same states he won the last time around. Mm-hmm. Well, how did that happen? It's because the other side exploited the rules. So I think there's been a lot of cleanup in the laws, but I think that if people do not pay attention to watch that even the laws we have are not exploited, I'm not even saying illegally. I'm saying you've got to watch what's going on and be aware of it and respond to it effectively. You can't just wish for a legal, safe election. You've got to work for it.
Well,
so we'll see. The laws alone can't stop people from breaking the rules. That's not what law does. So it requires enforcement as well.
Wow, we're out of time. Dave, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for spending this hour while you're on the road and taking this time to be with us. I really appreciate it. And pray that you have a happy new year.
And the same to you, Mike. I look forward to all our conversations coming ahead.
Yeah, man. And that lunch, let's get it on the calendar, man.
Good. Let's do it.
Hey, friends, thanks for being with me. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.